Just to get back into swing, so to speak, of this big sacred, we're in Dak Dhamma, and he's talking about his own isnatzlus, about saying things that are right or wrong, and he's darshening the kapitel of Dovra Melech of Yates, which deals with Torah, and each piece he's explaining about the chivas of different elements of chivas of Torah, and he'll come back at the end of it and finish up with that. But each point that he mentions here is worth in its own right, and it has its own shivas. We did last time the piece about Tumimus, about Tumtim Hashem Lekech and what Tumimus is, and now it's on page Dalet, towards the bottom, about 10 lines or so from the bottom up. V'chakach oma Eidus Hashem Ne'mona Machkim Aspesi. The next pasuk is Eidus Hashem Ne'mona Machkim Aspesi. He just says two lines here, so let's read the line and then we'll go back and explain it a bit. What is a person worth if all he has is Sechel Enushi? Torah makes a person a chacham. The Torah says Eidus on everything in the world to clarify everything. It's something which makes the Pesi very wise until he's considered Sichli. That's the entire piece on a Pasik. Let's go bit by bit, because he's really putting a lot into it, and each point is something. The first thing is the Pasik says Eidus Hashem Nemana. Each one is describing Torah in a different facet. It says Eidus Hashem is Nemona, and in that sense he says it is in the different senses of a person that he has. Re'ia is considered to be generally much more chashuv than Shmia. If a person sees something, if I see it's dark outside, a dozen Eidus that it's light is not going to help me much. It's not going to convince me much, because I see it with my own eyes. So generally speaking, Re'ia as a chush is seen to be superior than Shmia. There are, however, one or two places where it says not like that. First of all, there's a Gemara that says that Chereshoy Noitleit Mekulay, very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that if you damage different limbs of a person, different organs, you pay the value of that, and you evaluate it by selling how much would a person be worth to be sold as an Eved, with, without. An eye is no exception. An eye, you pay a certain value of what an Eved is worth, with an eye, without an eye. If you make somebody deaf, you pay to make kula, the Gemara says. So there's a famous Rabbi Yoina, and Rabbi Lebechaya says in one or two places, where he speaks about the milo of Shmia over Ria, that in a certain sense Shmia is more important than Ria. He says it, Rabbi Yoina says it, legabe kabbalas tochacha, that when a person was mekabel tochacha, he hears from somebody tochacha, that Shmia makes him into a different person. And from the day he's makabel to listen to mochiach, it's as if he's miskaper, very, very long, and he's mayrich in the milos of a shomea, and especially shmias pechocha, that's the point he's talking about. I want to explain how that works. What's the relationship of Re'iyah and Shmiah? In what sense is Shmiah more chashev than Re'iyah? L'chur, it's not our normal reaction. It's not even the reaction. It's not even the way it's described in the Lashon. Like, I mean, seeing is believing. In every language, seeing is believing. A person calls not. When we talk about Shmiah, I want to make it clear we're not talking about first-hand listening. For instance, if I see a cat walk across the room, or I hear a pitter-patter of a cat. In terms conceptually, that's Re'iyah. In other words, personal experience is Re'iyah. Whether we happen to feel something crawling on the hand, or something, we hear something walking, or we see something walking, that's the same. That's not Shmiah that we're talking about. Shmiah means, I'm privy to information and understanding of somebody else outside of me. Like I would put, what do you call these, the little memory cards into something. It's a Dayan, a Dayan saw X, Y, and Z. So what he saw is most powerfully true to him. But there's tons of things he didn't see. There are many things that he didn't see. And so if the Dayan could only trust what he saw, then he's limited to what's in front of him, and he can't do more than that. But when he has testimony that he can rely on, his frame of knowledge is so much greater than that which he understands himself. It's true about more information, like I got to say this, that's Pashit. But certainly it's true with wisdom. In other words, I have a certain amount of understanding of what's right. My seichel, like everybody, every seichel, is mugvol. My understanding is I can determine right and wrong in a certain framework. Outside of it, looks good to me. I don't know what the problem with it is. But if I tap into somebody who's more of a chacham than me, then my ability of judging things is now him. So all of a sudden I've expanded, and I'm not limited to my chachma. I can understand his chachma. Somebody told me once he went into Rav Shach to ask him about doing something, and he told him whatever he told him, yes or no. Rav Shach called him back a day later and said, I changed my mind. He said, I still think I'm right, but I was trying to think what the Chofetz Chaim would have told me, and he would have said the opposite. In other words, I can use the koyach of Shmiah is to be able to use someone else's godless das, someone else's das, to add to my das. And in that sense, it's much bigger than my Re'iyah. Because Re'iyah, as vivid as it is, and as powerful as it is, but it's limited to me. Shmiah is able to, how far can Shmiah go? As far as the person that I'm listening to. That's why Lamashal, an Eved Nirtza, is Nirtza in the Oizen, because the Oizen makes you a tool of somebody else. So if it's Avdus, physical Avdus, then it's bad. Then you become you become shuffled because you became somebody else. If you shtelzach tzu, like Rabbeinu Yoina says, to somebody's teichacha, so I become just like Eved Melech is a Melech. If I'm the Eved of a Melech, I'm a Melech also myself. If I shtelzu to somebody bigger than me, then I become bigger than myself because I can tap into somebody else. That's the point of Shmiah. So Torah has in itself a facet that is called Eidus Hashem. In other words, it broadens my personal understanding and knowledge, and it becomes a bigger than me and becomes a pchina of Eidus in that sense. It says the tchun is Eidus Hashem Ne'emana. So Torah is called Eidus Hashem and it's Ne'emana. That is the the tchuna of Eidus, machkimas pesi. Now let's look at this point, machkimas pesi. He says over here, v'demone machkimas pesi at shenechshav sichli b'yoysef. I want to explain it in different opinion. The first of all, on a simple level, machkimas pesi is the following. A pesi is described as pesi yam in l'chodotah. A pesi is someone who doesn't have the ability to discriminate between true, not true, frivolous, etc. So a person who's a pesi, since the information in the world around is not ever clear, it's not ever 100% emes, so a pesi has a real hard problem, because it's like somebody swallows things, good food, but he doesn't spit out the pits or the stems or the bones, and he's left together with the food, the garbage. So Pesi normally has a real hard problem learning, because he's full of knowledge and garbage, and he can't discriminate between two. So Eidus Hashem is Nempona, and therefore it's Machkimas Pesi. That's the plush understanding of it. The Maral is saying something deeper, and it goes in line with things that he says other places also. I want to try to describe it. Generally speaking, the Torah does not speak in the pejorative about things that are not the person's fault, that there's no wrong in it. For instance, to describe somebody as stupid because the ability of his brain to process information is not great. The Torah, I mean, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. I took you. The Torah doesn't. The terms sil and avil and passing, all those terms that are negative terms about a person's understanding of seichel and daf, they also carry within themselves a shortcoming of the person. A shortcoming that he could have rectified. It's not just a natural inability. So let's understand Pesi, because Pesi is, the Torah seems to have, I always say in Lashon Kodesh, is a language that's poor in vocabulary. Ibn Tibbon writes, when he had to translate from Arabic to Hebrew, he was stuck many times because it doesn't have many words. But there are certain words that have tons of synonyms, and a fool has many. Shaita, tipesh, ksil, evil. I guess that there's a lot. There are a lot of many different types. There come many variations, and I guess it's important to be oimer on each one. What's this particular shtus? What's a pesi? So the pesi has in itself the lashon pitu. The Maral speaks in many places about a pesi not being a tichli and so on and so forth. So let's take an example, and we'll get an understanding. A pesi means that it's gullible. Gullible. So that's a tchuna of nefesh. Some people are suspicious. Being a very suspicious person is also not a healthy tchuna. So what exactly, what moral issue is involved in being a pesi? So let's take an example. I'm trying to get somebody to invest in my company. So I take him for the grand tour. The first thing is I take him to the best restaurant in town, and he walks into the office, and the carpets are thick and the paintings are very expensive, b'chulu, b'chulu, b'chulu. So one part of himself says, wow, this is awesome, I'd like to be part of this. There's another part. He can then sit down with the books, disregard that whole chelik, work on the numbers and say, my gosh, you know, where did they get the money to do this? There's nothing in the books that would indicate that they have anything more than a McBurger. They shouldn't. Where's this coming from? But the person doesn't always make that decision. I mean, a lot of the world is built on people that don't make that decision. What's the difference? Why? What's happening? The Torah says the person has two levels of thought process. He has one level that is sichli in its nature. In other words, not sichli smart, but it's completely oblivious to any of the body emotion input, and it's pure seichel. And there's a thinking part of the person that thinks with his stomach and thinks with his wallet. And so now the question is, which part of the self is thinking? My father's member told me in Europe, people made tailored suits. That was the way my father remembers from the early 1900s. My father was an older person. And they started producing mass-produced suits. They were not terribly good quality, and they didn't fit well. I guess they didn't have yet a good type of
a model
to build it on, and it was always ill-fitting. That was a bought suit was not fitting well. So a Yid didn't buy a suit that was ready-made. A peasant would come in for a Sunday suit and buy. They would put a few coins in every packet. I'm not condoning it, not saying good business practice, just describing the materials. And the peasant would put on a suit. The suit had its shortcomings, let's say, and he would feel all of a sudden a few coins here, a few coins there. And he said, "Oh, this is the perfect suit I'm looking for." He said, No, Mr. Even, no, let's fit. No, it's just perfect." He was scared that they would find the money and take it away. So he would pay for it and run out and fit it now. What's the pshat? He wasn't thinking with the seichel. He was thinking with his pocket, with his hands. So, Mom, when we speak about sichli, they're not just talking about thinking process, but which part of the person is doing the thinking. So a pesi is minor. Why a pesi is maloshim pitui? It's not that he's stupid not to be able to understand, to analyze the numbers. If he would sit down with the numbers and forget the meal and the office and everything he was treated to, he's look at the numbers and say it doesn't make sense to invest. But the pesi is mispater with something else. And therefore the person is now thinking not with a seichel, but thinking with something else. That's a pesi. So a pesi is chisaron and seichel, but not because the person doesn't have enough brain power to think it through. It's because the person's, a different part of the person is thinking. Teres Hashem is ne'mona, machkimas pesi, is like this. If I sit and I think about right and wrong, I'm always going to have to think through my own self. No matter, I start with being a physical being. I have my tithes, I have my ritzonos, I have my chemdes, I have my things. Yes, I can work on myself and so on. But at the end of the day, the person is a pesi, because I have my internal biases. There's no way I can go around my internal biases, and therefore the wisest thing I could ever say carries in itself elements of pesi. If I hook into Teiras Hashem, so Teiras Hashem is ne'mono, machkimas pesi. So let's give it a mashal. If I manufacture my equipment a yardstick, no matter how good I try to keep my equipment, it always is going to carry some sort of, it's not going to be perfect because my equipment is not perfect. If I take an outside thing and measure up against it, then I can even align my equipment to be like it. If I start with an understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, Teiras Hashem ne'mana. So I say to myself, it's like when you're doing problems in a book and you see the answers, and you didn't get that answer. So your choice is to say that they're wrong or you're wrong. So usually you assume that they're right, and you try to figure out where you went off. So since every person is a pesi inherently, because our thinking process starts out with our built-in biases, with our built-in chumrias, when a person stumbles to something else, then he becomes a sichlias, as the Maral says, and it's a machkimas pesi. The two points go very well together. It requires a certain element of so let's talk about a very fine point that distinguishes two different directions in an attitude towards Torah. Every learning of Torah is a meeting up of two things that aren't quite the same place. I remember from a long time ago in American history when they built the railroad from the east to the west and west to the east, and they met at a certain point. I think that they met exactly on point. It's one of the things when you dig a tunnel, you always you know that if they meet at the exact point, then it's good. A person learns Torah with his own seichel, and it comes into focus with, and it comes into meets the Torah seichel. So I learn a halacha. Now, b'derech klal, my understanding and the halacha's understanding is not the same, and that's why we have Torah to machkim as pesim. One attitude is, for instance, let's take a simple mashal. We learn about Mechias HaMolek. So it's not, doesn't sit well with us, killing people and so on and so forth. So we can just leave it at that, and you know, I don't know what the Torah says, I don't understand, sort of a gap. I can try and say, well, what I think is right is right, and Bal Korchach, the Torah maybe was talking at a specific time, was talking at a specific place, whatever, for better or worse, you can be mitaris the Torah, or you can struggle to understand it until you might understand it, or you may not understand it. That's a difference in Shemayim and Aretz, and your attitude. There's a topic, and again, I don't like to get into current events and political stuff and so on, but I think it's a good Indian here. You know, if the Torah tells us about immoral things, quote unquote, how do we deal with it? Well, one second. Immoral things means the things that I think are not moral, or the things that I and Haskell and Beryl and Jack and Jim think is not moral. That's really what they say. So, my basic attitude can be, yes, I'm right, and I'm going to try to explain the Torah in line with what I understand. Or I could say, I'm a Pesi. I see things. I have my internal biases one way or another. The Torah is emes. It could be that I can't straighten myself out. But it could be I'll struggle to understand, and I can't put my understanding up to it. That's fine. But the direction is that this is the measuring rod, and I'm showing tzu, as opposed to the other way around. So, first point. Eidus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a derech of b'chin of Eidus, which means that it is, it's coming from the outside and adding to myself, and that's why, and it's machkimas pesi, because every person himself has this pesiness, because we're basav adam, we're not sichli enough, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we stole tzu, is machkimas pesi. In a certain sense, this is the pshat in v'chol ha'am royim es ha'kolos. V'chol ha'am es ha'kolos means, at its pashat, one of its more pashat understandings, when you hear edus from somebody else, we have access to more information, we have access to a better and bigger understanding than we have, but we don't have the clarity of Ein L'dayin HaMashen Avroyes L'Yitei Shemir Dola Miriyah. If I have a contradiction between Miriyah and Shemir, if somebody comes, if 10 Eidus that are Nemanim come and tell me it's middle of the day now, then I still would discount it. I'd say I don't know what the game is all about, but you know, it's discounted. So it has in itself a chisar. It has a maila, like you said, for Avedi Yoyna, and it's lacking because of this. V'chol Mois HaKadosh means it was the only time that Devar Hashem that came to us as a dibur and as edus, at that moment had the clarity of ri'iyah, which is something that since that time is not possible. It was a yichud of Maimer Har Sinai, that something which was bigger than us met up and became clear to us like that. It's like sometimes, we hear a shir, and when he said the shir, it was so obvious. When you went back afterwards and you tried to redo it, it took a lot of work. While he was saying it, it was like pashat to that pshat. It was only afterwards you had to start and redo it again. But there was in Maimon Har Sinai, there was such a darga of Royal Sakolos. That's the simpler pshat of Royal Sakolos. So that's one thing that Torah is Eis Hashem Nemana Machimas Pesi. I want to add something, I guess, sort of in Yonah Diyomadik. I don't know, where my Bomer is around the corner, and we counted 30 tonight, so we're kind of in the parish a little bit. I want to explain something about the Yichud of the Torah that Hashem Yechoy was Megala, which, by the way, the Maral was Yonek his Tocha from that Torah without using any of the language, and this is one of the milas of the Limud, is that you get some of the emes of the Torah without the need to have the vocabulary and all the words and so on and so forth. But I want to speak a little bit about its Yichud. It's called in the Rishonim, in the Ramban and other Rishonim, when they speak about a mahalach, al piderach haKabbalah, he says, Val derech ha'emes. Val derech ha'emes, kach v'kach. So I also put the point out, and he asked, as opposed to what? Like the Ramban has two mahalachim, al derech ha'sheker, and one al derech ha'emes. Like, what's the other one? I mean, I don't know of any contrast to emes other than sheker. So what does it mean about derech ha'emes? In what sense were the first two not of derech ha'emes? So the once a friend of mine was friendly with Shlomo Kalbach, and he asked him once if a certain story they told him in the songs is true or not. And he got very insulted and says, "What do you mean, Elimeir? It is from my truest stories." So he didn't know that true comes in degrees and in shades, more true, less true. So what's the opposite of sort of shots like this? Whatever a person's profession is, and somebody's in a profession that requires a lot of very specialized training or knowledge, and he tries to explain to someone on the outside, he has to use a muscle that makes sense in the other person's terms. I need to translate it into your language so that it makes sense to you, or to a universal language. I'll give a muscle about things that we're all familiar with, because I have to take an idea in my world, translate it into a different world. There's an aberration. Bechreach, it's an aberration. Because anytime, whenever you dress up something, you automatically distorted some of its surah. But just by the very fact that you dressed it up in something else. Torah is the Torah that we have. The Torah that we call nigla is like, oh, I heard a lecture from a great physicist, and it was easy to understand. He put it in words that we could all understand, means that it's distorted. It less so if he's good, more so if he's not good at it. But that's what it means, because he took something in one language and tried to dress up another language. Torah that's called nigla to us is Torah that's dressed in a form that we're familiar with. So Netilas Sidayim is a cup and it's water in its hands, and the hands touch something, and this touch this, and this touch that. That's the Torah that we have. That's what we call Nigla. So it is an emes, obviously, but it carries in itself some distortion because it's dressed in inyanim of this world, which is not its natural dress. If I can strip it of this world inyanim and deal with it mitzad its own particular structure, if I could, for the engineer that designed this, he forgets what this is and he just has lines and shows the relative weight that's being borne and the strength and whether it's white or whether it has electric outlets or whatever it is meaningless. So here are the lines that are the emes of the building, but it won't look anything like the building. So there is a chachma in Torah that's the pnim of Torah. It's the nister of Torah. Just like the body behind the dress is the nister. And yet it's closer, it is more sharply in focus to the emes. That's the same relationship of that Torah that's called nister to the Torah that's called nigla. And that's what when Ramban says al derech ha-emes, it means because it's not this white wall is holding up this thing, it's the structural strength of the studs being supported by this and being fastened by that. I'm taking out the exterior and speaking about the panim. But that's very hard for us to understand, because if I don't have any mesholim, if I don't have any words to describe it, I need to be so in tune with engineering that I can envision something without walls and so on and so forth. So the Torah that Rav Shem Yochai was megale was Torah's emes in the sense that it's stripped off of his inyanim. The Baal HaTanya says in a place, it's in a few places, but the Lamosha, it says in the Zohar that when Yaakov Avinu was peeling the maklos, that was an inyanim film that he was doing. The Pashto Pshat is kind of because, you know, when you peel a makel, it looks like mitzvahs on a hand. Halachically, is zero. It has no shaykhs. So he explained before Matan Torah, before the chiyuv was chal in the oifin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it down, mitzvahs could be mekuyim in different levushim. In other words, the pnim of the mitzvah, we wouldn't particularly pick the white or the black, but that's Yaakov Avinu, that's the Zohar Kodesh, and that's the Baal HaTanya. But the understanding is that the pnimius of it was an abstract inyan that with aldas ha'avis, aldas ha'akavinu, it couldn't fit different levushim. But that's what I wanted to add. It has to do with the machkimas pesi part. This point that the first term is the mona machkimas pesi, it means that Torah in itself has an emes. And he says, he's meramas a little bit, he says, take a look at the word that he says over here. He says, "Ki atoyra meidol nimsoyim levara kol dover." Torah is made on the nimsoyim, on the brias in the world, to be mevara kol dover. In other words, to give the clear understanding, the edus of Torah clarifies for us each and every prat nebria. It's moshlama dover daima. The bria is just a wild bunch of things, animals and flowers and rocks and people and nations and wars and other things, and there is no brirus. What's the point of this? What's the point of this valchai? To eat, not to eat. To use its hide for film, not to use it for film. To work it, not to work it. To breed it with another animal, not to breed it with another animal. All of these things, Torah gives us the focus. It gives us the surah with which we can do it. That's one inyan. Now he goes on to another inyan. He says, it says in the pasuk, the Torah is misamachas leiv. Pekudei Hashem yisharim misamchei leiv. What's this inyan? A whole new inyan. Pirish. Shenechshav ha'adam shu mitziyo sholem ayde ha'Torah. Ulekachi misamachas leiv ha'adam. Shekasha adamu b'shleimus u'b'simcha. So He says over here that Torah has in itself Kul Hashem's Yisharim, and that's why the Mesamchi Leiv. And he explains Simcha is totally with Shleimus, and Avelus is totally with Hisar. He talks about this in a few places, the Maral. I want to start, he gives a little bit of a different explanation, but it's the core of this explanation. The Maral says, I mean, Bechlau, let's go a second, let's take a step back. A person's feelings, a person's hargoshes, are meant to be evaluations of certain situations. So, for instance, pleasure is a feedback for something which is probably good for us. So when a person eats something, there's a sense of pleasure, and a person who needs certain foods usually has kind of a craving for that food and it feels good. When he ate it, a lot of different pleasures, a person likes things that are soft, things that are sharp, have a pain sensation, not a bad feedback. Different feelings that we have express different, it's a feedback, it's telling us something about the situation around it. Fine. Fright, anger. What's Simcha and Avelus? What exactly is it describing? What feedback? What's that feeling? A feeling of what is Simcha? I mean, good. It's a feeling of good. But specifically, what exactly? So Ra'al says that all of the feelings that we have, many things give us a feedback about certain qualities. Something is sharp, it's kind of dangerous, something is smooth, soft, etc., etc. The hargosha of chiyus, of existence and non-existence, in other words, the most basic hargosha in the world is that there is or there is not. So he says the Marshal Yom Tovim are all built around zmanim of Havaya. Havaya in the sense existence, creation. You have Chag Aviv, you have Chag HaKotzer, Chag HaOsif. Each one is Ke'ilu, a new Havaya in the Brises, a new Mitzias. The feeling of Mitzias, the feedback for Mitzias is Simcha. We don't have that in its fullness. In other words, we can't feel total non-existence because it wouldn't exist. There's no thing as total existence for us. What we do feel is dargis of more existence and less existence. So, Lamasho, if I feel more comfortable or less comfortable, there's no darga of added existence, added mitzias, or less mitzias. It's more pleasant, less pleasant, sweeter, sour, sharp. But if Rahmanu Islam, a piece of me is torn away and it ceases to exist, that's Avelus. There are seven kravim that are part of my own mitzias, and it's part of my existence has been ripped out. That is Avelus. Simcha is when a Adam is not Shalom, a person is a plagufa, and he gets married, and now he has a hashlama to his mitzias. Shleimus means that something was missing to me, and there are things that I have more and I have less, but I'm not lacking a shleimus. When I'm not married, I'm lacking something which is mashlim. Children are an added existence. My mitzias has become a bigger mitzias because I now have children. So simcha is the hargosha of mitzias and avaya. Avelus is the hargosha of lack of a chisorin in that. And more specifically, when a person feels a shleimus, when a person accomplishes something that he feels, a person is a little bit of bal nefesh. I mean, the problem is that we're so used to translating the word simcha to happy, and happy is everything. There's a happy hour and a happy party and a happy this. It doesn't. It's a terrible distortion of the word simcha. If a person accomplishes something, at the type of accomplishment that a person feels, this is me. I did something that I plugged in a piece in that was missing in the question of my personal question. Those are high questions of simchas, that type of accomplishment. So, of all the things, maisim that a person does, mitzvahs and maisim tovim and so on, those are things a person does and accomplishes. They become part of the person a certain way. But nothing becomes part of the person like das. Das is me. If I understand something better today, if I have a better perspective on the world, then there's more of me. I'm a sholem. If I'm lacking it, I'm a chosa. It says they forgot the X amount of halachas in with avla on it. In avelos they forgot halachas, and the child who forgets Torah, so you miss avla on it for the shalom zoch, etc. In other words, of all the things in a person's mitzias that we can really say becomes part of his ashlama, Torah is the most direct, and that's why it's misamachas. It's halacha like that. And if Tisha B'Av you can't learn, and so on. It's avelus correlates with lack of hashlama, and simcha correlates with hashlama. Yedidas of Torah is mashlim at Suras Adam because the person becomes more of understanding. So we have these two things. And let's just recap because we did cover quite a few points and just want to get it straight. We covered 2 points in the Maral about. And again, going to set up sukkim. The first one is Eidas Hashem Nemana Machkimas Pesi, and we saw two or three. Each word here means something. The first thing is Torah has a facet of being Eidas. It means not only information that I get, but it gives me an understanding that I don't have without myself, and it makes me bigger because of it. It's the only thing that I can do to increase my own understanding. Is for that. It is nemana, which means I never run the risk. The marshal, if somebody has an idea that I put forth, a person has his own idea, I think this is good. I might like it, it sounds good, and so on and so forth, but I can't say that it's 100% true. I'm always stuck. I have a problem with what he said. Should I say I'm wrong or he's wrong? Do I take it the way it is and try to understand it, or do I use my own healthy sense of criticism and say he's wrong? Torah is nemana, so it leaves me only with the option of putting myself to it. It's machkimas pesi because one expression we said was a pesi's lack of the ability to discriminate. So Torah I can take as it is. When I'm learning an Indian, I don't have to ask, am I right or is that right? Should I kill myself to understand it or is it wrong? I know that it is right and I should kill myself to try to understand it. The second part of it is, the point that we said was, that it changes the person's understanding of things. Because I can never grow out of my own personal biases on myself. So I'm a pessy always because there's always some part of me that I'm going to be thinking through my stomach. Wherever a person's stomach is located, that's what he's going to be thinking through. If he stalls to Torah, he's thinking it through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emes, and therefore the person becomes, and therefore it's machkimas pesi. And it gives the person the understanding, the brirus of the brir. Then we have the second piece here, which is complete, is that Torah has the element of the samachas. We explained the shirish of simcha versus avelus is, at its very core, the yismach Hashem b'masav means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Maral says, yismach Hashem b'masav, that which exists, is simcha, that's one and the same, and avelus is the sense of non-existence. On a personal level, we couldn't do that. The only way we can translate existence to non-existence is more existence, less existence, which is shleimus versus chisarin. Of all the things a person does and accomplishments, the accomplishments are outside of a person, and whereas Torah is something that's part of his mitzvahs. And it's much more readily felt that I've grown because I understand better, and that's why Torah is better than samachas. Okay. Yes, that's the point of a Rav, and the Yafa Dan Yafa Fos.
right?
The way you're learning through it, it's like we're lost. When I look at it on the grid, automatically, So in terms of your laser, for us, the more physical laser is the more significant one. It's the one that we start with, but I know physics from the great thing that's now going to go with this. I don't look for more formulas I need. So the Nikola physics, the algorithm over the tree, the list of the formula. So when you start the M, you look at the formula, the more M. And the The word translation itself, when I say translate, it means it's perfect in dual language, but I needed to translate. I needed to have faith. In the transition from the professional program, it's very rare not to say.
They once said the Radina Rebbe was very, very sharp with it, very sharp. And he didn't tolerate the, the Rebbe's list is the worst one, this thing, which one.
Also, this new thing about how when a person explains something better, clearer, it's inherently more distorted.
Clear and better, its language is more crisp.
and I spread it, then it's not. But if I need to bring it over to another world, if I need to tell kids about something, I'm always going to have it. If I need to tell an outsider, you know, a person can explain, theoretical physics well to somebody else. That is not part of this book. I need to put a Lavush on it, not the distortion. I need a Lavush that makes sense to you. I need to translate it. There's also things that make sense.
There's nothing wrong with it, it's right, but it's wrong
if you cut it to say zebul. There's nothing more than that. If you say Torah's accent, that's all.
How are you, Jeremy? I didn't know that you're all over the world.
No, I'm living in Passaic.
You're living in Passaic?
The person told me that you were speaking to them.
And like Bowman, you're not going to make it back down to us? We're going to miss you like Bowman.
I don't know, I might go to Crown Heights.
I go to Crown Heights. Crown Heights doesn't need you.
No, they have Jeremy.
No, that's what it's
No,
I was there.
I was
living within.
I was the last year. I
That's my move.
Okay.
Thank you.